The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
On this Wednesday morning, it is not that often that a brand new Great Lakes freighter is commissioned and goes into service, and that's exactly what's happening this month with the Mark W. Barker. And they're having a special event today in Cleveland, and our Caleb Gordon is going to be there front and center. He's on his way right there right now, and we catch him on the road. Good morning once again, Caleb.
Yeah, good morning, Paul. I saw you early this morning, and I am en route to help celebrate and help cover a pretty historic event here. In fact, the first time in 35 years that a new U.S. flag Great Lakes freighter has been dedicated.
This is a big one, a sturdy one, and a state-of-the-art one, too, as I understand it.
Yeah, this freighter is something special. So, all right, so why hasn't this happened in, like, 35 years or so? Well, the U.S. fleet, any ship that travels to or from or between two U.S. ports has to be U.S. built, U.S. flagged, and U.S. crewed. That's per the Jones Act. Now, in Canada, they have a similar requirement on crewed and owned, but Canada relaxed it, and their ships don't have to be built in Canada. So you've been seeing a lot of new ships on the Great Lakes as of late. A lot of them come from China, and they're all Canadian flagged and operate for the Canadian fleet. Well, the U.S. has that Jones Act in place, and it's a lot more expensive, as most things are, to build things in the U.S. So over the years, you've seen the U.S. fleet has gotten older and older and older. We have a lot of tug barge units, old freighters that get chopped down to become a tug barge, and that extends their life. Even though you might see new salt units or new salties or new Canadian units out on the lake, the U.S. fleet is quite old, actually. So that's a big occasion, big news, mm-hmm. for sure.
Is this going to be the christening today or just sort of a media rollout?
So media, and I don't know how far I don't know if I'm the farthest one away that's attending or not. I'll find out today. But this will be a media unveiling. We'll get to tour the ship. I'm going to have some one-on-one interviews that we'll be able to play back in the next couple of days. We'll hopefully be able to hear from Mark Barker, who's the president of Interlake Steamship Company. His dad is James Barker, a thousand footer is named after James Barker, and Mark will have this newest vessel named after him. Hoping to sit down and chat with him today and might be able to catch up with the captain and some members of the crew, too. So today is just that, to get to know the ship and get to know the people on board. Tomorrow is the christening, and it's taking place in Cleveland. Interlake is headquartered in Cleveland, in Ohio, has been for a long time, family-owned company. You know, the Mark Barker, James Barker, Paul Tregurtha, you know, these names that you recognize on ships are all part of that, you know, either inner like family of owners. So it's going to be fun to get to meet everyone, say hi to everyone, and also to check out this amazing ship.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be pretty special indeed. Take lots of pictures. I bet Roger LeLever from Know Your Ships, if he's not there for this event, he'll certainly get some pictures of it for the next edition of his book. It'll be pretty exciting to see.
Yeah, so the story of this ship dates back several years ago. I believe we talked about it with Jim Weekly last time he was on, mm-hmm. From Lake Carriers Association. It's been in production for several years now up in Sturgeon Bay in Wisconsin, and they have been building this ship. It was very important to Interlake, not only that it's built in the U.S., but it's built on the Great Lakes. There are shipyards, you know, east, west coast, and down in the Gulf and that sort of thing, but it was very important for them to build it on the Great Lakes and to use Great Lakes sourced steel too. They really pride themselves on the fact that the ship is built from steel made in blast furnaces sourced from pellets from the Great Lakes region. Mm-hmm. So everything about this just screams Great Lakes. It really does. And what's unique about this boat too, not only is it the first in 35 years that have been built, and of course it's going to be crewed and owned and built in the U.S., but the way that it is built is unlike any other freighter in the U.S. You've seen it's going to look more like a Canadian boat or a Salty. And by what I mean by that is the hatch cover configuration is going to look different than it's already come by Port Huron once already.
Okay.
On its way down here. It's been in revenue service. It's made a couple runs so far. For revenue services. So I remember it was a big deal when it came through town maybe a week ago. A lot of people snapped their first photos of it going on the Blue Water Bridge. But the way it's different is the unloader is on the front side. So it's a front-mounted self-unloading boom versus, in many cases, it's usually on the aft end. And I mentioned the hatch covers are configured differently. That's to allow different types of cargo to be loaded. You know, one thing that they wanted perhaps uses for is moving things like wind turbines and generator parts, things that you traditionally had to carry in the Salty because our Great Lakes freighters can't handle those kind of loads. So they're thinking like bulky things, you know, industrial machinery, large items that you traditionally wouldn't have been able to move on an American ship could now be moved on this thing. You know, it's smaller. It's not a 1,000-footer. It's 639 feet long. Their goal is they wanted to be able to go up to the Cuyahoga River, which is where I'm going today.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is a smaller ship that's more maneuverable. It can go up the Cuyahoga. It can go up the Saginaw. It can go to ports that some of the larger ships can't get into.
Right.
And the other thing is the holds are square. And what I mean by that is a lot of the U.S. vessels have tapered off almost triangular-shaped holds that funnel all of the coal or iron ore or gravel or whatever it's carrying down into a series of conveyor belts that unload them up to the top. Well, this one has square holds, so they use the entire inside of the ship, the entire hull, has that loading capacity. So it's even though it's 639 feet, it has a much larger carrying capacity than other vessels its size because of the square holds rather than the tapered off ones. Because of that, they have to put a front end, there's a front end loader that's down in the bottom of it to help move around the material. So I'm hoping to check that out today.
Cool.
So just everything about it is something that has never been done, at least on the U.S. side, in the Great Lakes. That's what makes it so unique.
Well, certainly important in terms of shipping, and it'd be very interesting to see what this looks like. I look forward to hearing your interviews, too. We'll hear some of it in the news, I'm sure, tomorrow, and Friday morning we'll get a chance to hear some more, too. Safe travels, Caleb. Enjoy.
Well, thank you, Paul. I'm really looking forward to this, and I'm excited to share this with our listeners. Our listeners love freighters. We love seeing them in Port Huron. Sometimes we don't really know where they're going or where they're coming from or what they're hauling, but we appreciate them. And I'm hoping that after some of the interviews that I do today, much like when the Paul Tregurtha comes by or some of our other favorites, maybe the next time the Mark Barker comes through Port Huron, our listeners and our fans will have a greater appreciation for it.
Take us aboard the newest one, indeed. Caleb, appreciate it. Safe travels. We'll talk soon.
Yep. Thanks, Paul.
All right.
Yep,
bye-bye.